We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
My guest today is wrestler and coach Frank Molinaro, a.k.a. Gorilla Hulk. He's the 2012 NCAA champ and a four-time NCAA Division I All-American. At only 25 years old, he's already a legendary workhorse. There's a very good reason why his nicknames include Gorilla Hulk and the Tank. You earned those nicknames a few weeks ago at the World Team Trials with a huge last-second throw. Can you take me through that experience of the World Team Trials, especially the match for third?
So the World Team Trials were on Sunday, and the Sunday before that, I actually got married in Las Vegas.
Congrats.
Thank you. So I basically, you know, flew from Las Vegas to Wisconsin a couple days before, you know, had a pretty significant weight cut, and felt like I was, you know, training hard leading up to the tournament, and you know, did a lot better job this time around, getting my weight down, recovering, and my first match just kind of went out there, was flat, you know, got beat 10-0, and was sitting in the warm-up room, and, you know, freestyle, if, for people that don't know, you know, you wrestle consecutive matches, like, you have about 15 to 30 minutes in between matches, so, you know, after that first match, I kind of sat back there, and I was like, you know, I've been training since October. You know, I've really had a lot of people help me along the way. I've come a long way. I can't, you know, end my season because that's the tournament that really matters. Mm-hmm. Nothing else before, you know, winning the Schultz was good, but that doesn't matter. The U.S. Open, you know, that really doesn't matter. The only tournament that matters is the World Team Trials. So, you know, my first match back, I had a pretty tough match. And then my second match, I wrestled Kellen Russell. And yeah, he's a guy I've wrestled my whole career. He's beaten me six times, I believe, five or six times. And he beat me this season in Cuba overseas. He beat me. It was a close match. The score ended up, you know, not looking close, but it was a close match. So that was a big win for me. That was my second wrestleback match. And again, I was down by this. I was down by 2 points, but if I would have tied it, I would have lost. So, you know, I needed to score 3 points in 27 seconds. And, you know, basically when you're in a situation like that, you know, especially me, it's, you know, I think the last 30 seconds of a match is a fight. And, you know, it doesn't matter that Kellen's got, you know, years of freestyle experience on me. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, the last 30 seconds of any wrestling match is a fight. And if you know, the tougher guy's going to end up winning. And that's it. And that was just fortunate enough at the trials to be the time I picked him off, and was really excited about that. And then I kind of got some momentum going into my next match. I had to wrestle one of our coaches mm-hmm. at the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, Nick Fanthorpe. And, you know, I've wrestled Nick a lot, and I know he's a, you know, he wrestles real hard pace. And again, that was a tough match, won that one. And then we had a little break finally. So I wrestled four matches in the morning in probably 2 hours, and then we leave there, and sure enough, I'm wrestling Rhys Humphrey, which I was really looking forward to because, you know, I took a pretty bad loss against him at the U.S. Open, and, you know, I really feel like I didn't give it 100% when I wrestled him there. I feel like, not to make excuses, but my body wasn't 100%, neither was my mind at that point, so, you know, it really was a good test for me, and I was really excited about it. You know, I remember just going back to the room, you know, as soon as I found out I was going to be like the second matchup, and I was wrestling Rhys Humphrey, and it was going to be on the stage to make the national team. So, you know, the top three people.
Yeah, they get the spot.
They get the national team.
So when you find out you have to go against the guy that beat you, your first thought is excitement?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's revenge. You know, B, it's a great opportunity yeah. to beat a guy who's been on a couple world teams before, and you know, it's, you want to make the national team, and I want to end my season the right way, you know, beating him and, you know, ending the season on a win, feeling good, wrestling my way all the way back through that, you know, which was a very tough road I had to go through to even, you know, make it to him. So, you know, when I go back to the hotel, there's just no scenario where I see myself losing the match, and there's no, you know, I don't visualize losing that match at all, you know, and I don't have any negative thoughts. I feel, you know, nothing but positive going into the match. And then, so that, you know, and then the match starts and pretty much in control of the match for, you know, about 5 minutes and 30 seconds, you know, and I give up a really, really, you know, out of character push out. It's not something I would normally do. I don't, still don't know exactly what happened. I might have had, you know, a brain fart or just kind of fell asleep on the edge. And then he pushes me out there, and then I ended up getting stitches under my chin. So we go out of bounds, and I got to go to the corner and get cauterized and get this kind of to stop bleeding. And I'm thinking, you know, I walk over there, and Coach Kale, you know, he's always gives you good corner advice. Coach Cody, you know, they've been with me since day one. So, you know, it helps having people in your corner that are they're familiar with you. And
what was the advice? So you were you aware of the time and everything?
Yeah. Well, as soon as I got to the corner, I was like, you know, I really didn't put much stock into what just happened because that was stupid. Basically, Coach Cody's like, you know, Coach Kale, you got 23 seconds left. You know, we're not going to take a bad shot here. We're going to, you know, we're going to multiple attacks, pressure, set it up, and just wrestle to the last second, you know, and, you know, don't just try to go out there and go for a big move. Try to create multiple attacks and create basically a flurry. It's like a fight. You know, I wanted to make it a scrappy 30 seconds because I felt like, you know, with my strength and if I got to his legs, I knew I would finish whatever takedown I had to do. But he did a good job. So I come back to the center, you know, and at this point, the guy that's doing this thing on my chin, he's, you know, trying to get this thing to stop bleeding. And I'm like, you know, trying to get back into the center of the mat because, you know, I'm like so pumped at that point. I'm like shaking to get back to the center.
Yeah.
And they're like, calm down, calm down. They're like, listen, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, the only thing I'm thinking in my head is, you know, I got 23 seconds up. I have to get this takedown, you know, or my season's over. I don't make the national team. And this whole year is a failure. And this whole day is a waste. You know, and I just kind of, I don't know. I just felt, you know, there's a couple times in my career, maybe three times that I really felt like, you know, I was up against a lot of adversity, but I was going to come through in the end. And that was one scenario where it's easy to say this in hindsight, but going back to the center, I knew I was getting that somehow.
Yeah.
I didn't exactly know how it was going to happen, but I knew, you know, I didn't want to lose bad enough. So just made it happen.
You were basically creating a bit of chaos. It's pretty cool to see. It felt like I was watching some kind of like a vision, like a movie. It's what movies are made from, you know?
Yeah.
What did that feel like of winning with no time left?
It's, you know, it's indescribable. It's, you know, you would like it to be for, you know, a world championship, a national championship to make the world team. But, you know, my scenario, it was fitting for the season I had. And, you know, it's basically, it's what you train for. You know, I always, you know, do those extra 5-6 reps, you know, or I'll finish doing a set and I'll think I left something out there and I'll go back out and do 3 more sets and just, because you never know, you might have that one match where it comes down to the last 15 seconds and you got to score. And, you know, I try to put myself in those scenarios in practice and then, you know, and you lose 9 out of 10 of them in practice, you know, with those short time situations are not my best. But, you know, watching basketball, football, you know, you always see it in sports when guys win with a couple seconds left and it's, you know, everybody wants that.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to win in that fashion and it's awesome, you know, when it actually happens to you.
Yeah, that's what you imagine when you, like you said,
yeah,
those hard training sessions.
Yeah.
That's where you put yourself, whatever your sport you're doing, running, anything, you're just a little bit behind and you steal it at the very end.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about your training leading up to World Team Trials? Like take me in detail through a typical day. Like how much sleep, how much hard training, how much lifting, how much eating, how much, I mean, you just got married, how much socializing with,
yeah,
I mean, everything.
You know, I pretty much, everything I do is pretty regimented and I'm, you know, not to brag, but I'm very disciplined and very, you know, persistent with everything I do. So I like to have a routine, you know, typical day. On Monday, I'll wake up about, you know, I hardly sleep, so not by choice. I'll wake up on a Monday, you know, I'll get a lift in about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Usually I do like a heavy leg day and get done with my lift, and I'll do about 30 minutes of rehab for my shoulder, you know, and a couple other things. Finish my rehab, I'll ice, do probably stim or something after that till about, I get done maybe about 11:30, and then get out of there. I'll go eat, go home, cook myself breakfast. I like to cook all my meals when I'm training for a tournament.
But that's the first time you eat in the day?
I wake up in the morning and I make myself a shake in the Vitamix. Okay. You know, fruits, vegetables, protein. Anybody out there who has a Vitamix knows what I'm talking
yeah.
about. It's a great machine. So then get out of the facility, come home, cook myself breakfast. And, you know, usually I'll try to just rest for a couple hours. I'll try to just do something to take my mind off before practice, watch TV, whatever it is. And then go into practice at 2 o'clock. That's about 2 to 4 o'clock Monday. And then get done with practice and I'll sauna. And then do a little bit of ice and cool down.
A sauna is for, does it maintain the weight?
Yeah. You know, but usually like when I'm, if, say I'm a couple weeks out of a tournament, I like to get kind of like, you know, acclimated to the sauna because I know I'm going to cut a lot of weight in it. So I'll spend about 15 to 25 minutes, you know, 3-4 times a week in there. I like to cool down in there too, to stretch a little bit after practice so things don't tighten up and get super sore the next day. And Tuesday I'll wake up and I'll go for probably about 3-4 mile run through trails. And then I get done with that and I do about another 30 minutes rehabbing my shoulder. That's usually a little bit more volume on Tuesday. And then get out of there and I'll come back for another 2 o'clock practice.
Nice.
Wednesday I take completely off.
How many off days do you have?
Wednesday and Sunday. Usually on a Wednesday though, I'll, you know, depending on how I feel that day, I'll go for a light jog, a couple miles, and then I'll just do something fun, something outside of wrestling, maybe play a round of golf or, you know, just kind of relax and just take, just try to, it's hard for me to get away from wrestling and take the day completely off, but I try to, you know, I try to force myself to do that because I know it's going to give me more energy going into the rest of the week on Thursday and Friday, and I'm going to have a little bit more pop from it when I come back into the room. So Thursday I wake up about 7:30, 8 o'clock and head in for a circuit, and that's in the wrestling room, and do about it's a short circuit, like 20 minutes, 7 stations, 30 seconds a station.
You know? When you say circuit, that each station is like a lifting type thing, or what is
it? Yeah, like one might be like sit-up medicine ball throw. You know, one might be ropes, that kind of stuff.
By the way, I mean, I first got introduced to who you are by watching on YouTube, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago, the video called Leg Killer.
Yeah, I used to just go in there. When I was a freshman at Penn State, I would just go in there and try to make workouts up all the time. That would be super hard.
Do you stay with those kind of insane circuits throughout your career, or did you ease up a little bit?
Eased up a little bit. You know, I try to do things that are going to help me a little bit more towards wrestling now. You know, try to be a little bit smarter about the things I do. So we do that circuit every Thursday in the room, and then I'll get done with that circuit, and I'll try to do a little bit of extra with the weights. You know, I usually just try to throw in like 2 or 3 exercises right at the end of the circuit when I know my body's tired. I like to start pushing and pulling some weight. And then right after that, I go upstairs and I do about 30 minutes of rehab, ice and stim. And then I go home. And then Thursday, I would come back and practice, same time, 2 o'clock. Usually it's a situation. We'll do situation live and stuff like that. And then I'll head home for the night. And Friday is just one session. That's you come in at 2 o'clock, you warm up, and we wrestle live matches.
So what's the difference between situation live? Like situation is you start in a certain position and then go from there?
Yep.
Okay.
I usually put myself in situations, you know, that I'm not good at, or the coaches will have a plan for us that day. We'll do, you know, 3 or 4 different situations.
I heard that Kale Sanderson emphasizes having fun on the mat, like play wrestling. Can you describe that? Is that something you believe in as well, you try to do as well?
Yeah, I think you learn a lot. You know, you put yourself in positions that you're not good at, and, you know, you figure things out. I play wrestle every day. We play wrestle every day. It's, you know, kind of something that I've learned to do and get used to at Penn State. And, you know, it's helped me really figure out what works for me, what doesn't work for me, what I need to work on, and what my weaknesses are and stuff like that.
Where does ego fit into play wrestling? Because I mean, first of all, you personally, your personality, you're yeah. a stubborn and driven
yeah.
wrestler. I can't quite imagine you giving up a takedown even in the wrestling room, play wrestling.
Yeah.
How well, hard is it for you to for your personality to like not care about winning, quote, winning and losing in training?
Yeah, you definitely get some guys that can't play wrestle. You know, they're basically just wrestling you live the whole time. So I like to try to, you know, keep it at like 60% when I play wrestle, because I know, you know, it's going to help me. But you always get the guys that go too hard, and it ends up me wrestling live if someone's doing that to me.
Is that rare in the wrestling world? Like, I mean, I come right now more from the, you know, jiu-jitsu, judo world. Is that rare to play wrestle?
You know, it was new for me. I, you know, in high school, everything was always drills and drills and drills. You know, in college was a lot of play wrestling, and it's, you know, it started off like 10, 20 minutes beginning of practice, and, you know, then it became play wrestling to cut weight, and, you know, it just, you know, it got us a lot better. It got me a lot better at wrestling in positions that I wouldn't normally be in drilling or be in wrestling live. You know, because when you play wrestle, you put yourself in positions that, you know, you're unfamiliar with, or positions that, you know, you might not be good in, and you wrestle from there, and you learn and you figure out how to do things without being taught and going through drilling. You learn it by doing it. And I think it's a good way to get better.
How do you master technique? I mean, you have like a dominant technique, a left high crotch, and you also have a single leg. But if you were talking to a 10-year-old Frank now, or a 10-year-old guy with a lot of potential, what would you say? If you wanted to get really good at the double leg or a high crotch, how do you master technique? Do you believe in drilling?
I think for me, I think mastering a technique is where you think that you can get it on somebody at any time. Right. You know, I drill a single leg with the mindset, you know, can I get this on somebody every single time I wrestle them? You know, can I get this on anybody? And if it's no, then I haven't mastered the technique. You know, you have to be so good at a move that you have to be able to execute it at any point of a match. It can't just be something that you hit here and there. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. You know, I have tricks and things that, you know, I like to try and practice. But I think, you know, really mastering a technique is being able to execute it against the best guys consistently over time.
What was your path to it? Did you drill it 100,000 times or?
Yeah, you know, I did it every day, you know, at least probably 25 reps a day or whatever it was, or I'd spend a whole day, you know, asking the coaches, well, what do I do if he does this? What do I do if he does this? You know, or I'd have people that I was drilling give me a different feel that day. Like, you know, if I do this, I want you to do that. And it would help me. I would try to figure out every possible way that it wouldn't work. And, you know, by figuring out every possible way it wouldn't work, it helped me strengthen the actual technique. You know, especially on top, I was, you know, I have a pretty good leg turk on top, and I feel if I get a leg turk on anybody, and, you know, I think I can turn them. And, you know, that just came from trial and error, trial and error, trial. I spent an entire summer, you know, my junior season to my senior year, basically said, you know, I don't want to just ride people anymore. I want to start getting turns. I want to start opening up the gap and majoring people and shutting guys out. And, you know, that's what I did. I just spent the whole summer figuring out every possible way I can turn someone from there and every possible way they could stop me from turning them. And spent a lot of time with Casey Cunningham because that was one of his good positions. And, you know, really felt like that was one of the things I mastered. I felt like I could get that. If I got a leg jerk on someone, I felt like I can turn them.
When you say figure out, you know, all the options they can do and how you can shut it down, you do mean, is this like a discussion? Is this live training or is it drilling?
I think the reality, and for me, maybe not most people, but I figure out a lot during live, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Because you can drill things, you know, 10 different ways, but, you know, until you can drill them on the best guy or hit them on the best guys in the country, and, you know, being fortunate enough to wrestle for a place like Penn State, you know, you're going against the best competition in the country, and you know, some of the best competition in the world in freestyle or whatever you're doing here. You know, you're always going to be wrestling elite guys. You know, and if you can hit those guys and you could be successful in the room and have success with the techniques against those guys, it gives you the confidence going out there and doing it. You know, I was wrestling guys my senior season who were on the world team in my weight class, you know, once or twice a week, you know, and then a couple of international guys. Being able to compete with them and being able to execute some of my moves and against them, you know, gave me a ton of confidence going out there and wrestling college guys. And you know, it's a good situation.
What do you think is a better path to success in wrestling? This is always the first of all, I should admit I was born in Russia. Mm-hmm. so there's always kind of a stereotypical debate of Russian style wrestling and American, and maybe like a technical approach to wrestling and maybe aggressive grit style wrestling. What do you think is a better path to success in wrestling? Technique or grit?
I think winning. Everybody's going to have a different style. You know, Jordan Burroughs can take anybody in the world down with a double leg. You know, and everyone does something a little bit different. I think you have to spend a lot of time and you know, I think learning all those different styles. You know, take a little bit out of everybody's book and try everything and see what works for you and formulate a style that you know you think that you can win with consistently. You know, I think, you know, if you're not a consistent guy that's beating, you know, the guys you should be, you always got to beat the guys that you should be. And, you know, that's just how it is. You know, I have to be consistent at this level. You know, a guy like Jordan Burroughs is not just consistent. He dominates, you know, and if you want to win a world championship and if you want to win a national championship, if you want to win a state championship, you know, you can't train with the mentality that, you know, I want to win like this sometimes. You know, you have to try to dominate every match. You have to be trying to score for, you know, the entire match. And, you know, you do that by trying different things that work. And, you know, if you're doing the same thing and you're having pretty good results, then you're not going to have much better results. You have to think outside the box. And, you know, until you reach the level you want to reach, then, you know, I think everybody should be trying to learn every day.
All right. So, a tough thing to talk about, a tough match. So, the 2011 National Championships.
Yes.
First of all, you had a very good year that year. You're in the finals, your first finals. You're going against Kyle Dake. So, second period, you're down 2-1. And the coaches called, they told you to go like neutral or top, and you decided to take bottom. Can you can you explain to me the thought process behind that?
Well, I was thinking basically at that point I was down 3-1 because I already had given up riding time.
Riding time, right?
And I had been up to my feet probably, I think that time, that first period, maybe 5-6 times. You know, and I was thinking, well, you know, I'm going to have to get an escape because it's going to be harder to take him down 2-3 more times just to beat him.
Right.
You know, because I didn't have any success riding him. You know, he gets right out on bottom. So, you know, I knew he was going to take bottom I was going to have to take him down multiple times. And I figured, I felt that I was close enough to get out that I was going to eventually get out.
Right.
You know, and that didn't work out for me too well. But
so it wasn't like frustration, like, I'm going to show you that you can't ride me that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm like a super, super stubborn person. So, yeah. You know, part of me was like, you know, he can't ride me. You know, and I honestly believed that I was going to get out or I wouldn't have went down. And, you know, he's just, the more I've watched him wrestle, you know, he could ride anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it 20, 30 times.
He rode you for three periods. How did that match change you? Did that match create a monster?
You know, like, it definitely, the biggest thing to take away from that match was, you know, I think I kind of took the wrong approach mentally. You know, it was, and not just that day, I think the entire season, it was, you know, everybody wants to win a national championship, you know, and that was my goal, you know, to win a national championship. And, you know, I really, really trained hard that year, did everything right, dieted right, lifted right, you know, but you can't want to win a national championship. You have to you know, you have to visualize it every day. You have to, you know, you have to see it every day in your head. You have to expect it to happen, you know. And for me, when I made it to the national finals, it was more of this attitude that I was going to go out there and I was just going to, you know, wrestle 100%. I was going to make it happen. And that's not how you win at the highest level. You know, so when I went back the next year, it was my senior year. It was the last year to win a national championship. It was, you know, something I wanted to achieve my whole career, wrestling career. And I had one last chance, and I had came close the year before, but, you know, it was an opportunity that I lost. And I took it really seriously and, you know, probably visualized it 100 times a day. You know, woke up every day, wrote it down, had it on my phone, had it on my walls, had it on my locker, you know. I still see the number 149 in my head. I can't get it out of my head. I'll drive past a mailbox and I'll catch the number 149 because I pictured, you know, the number, the national championship, everything in my head every single day. And, you know, when it happened, it wasn't really kind of what I expected. It wasn't, you know, this crazy jump up and down reaction. You know, it was something that I expected to happen. And, you know, my junior year, I could honestly say I didn't expect it to happen. You know, I thought it could happen. But there's a huge difference when you want something or you think something can happen than when you actually truly 100% believe something is going to happen.
But you had a very tough day in 2012. Yeah. So, like you said, you hurt your knee. I don't know what match, your second match?
Yeah, the second match, there was about 20 seconds left and I was kicking out in a single and my knee popped out in the last takedown of the match.
Yeah. What was that feeling like? Have you ever wrestled on a bad knee like that? Continued wrestling?
Nah, it was awful. You know, it was like probably one of the most crushing feelings I've ever felt in my entire life. I just, you know, when it first happened, I was in shock. I couldn't even believe it because, you know, I had literally for 364 days visualized winning a national championship. I have done everything possible that you could humanly do as far as training, discipline, consistency, you know, practice, everything down to the last small detail. And when it happened, I just, it was like I got like shot in the stomach. You know, I went back, really started to feel the effects of what had happened with my knee. Wasn't able to even really, I couldn't drill the rest of the tournament. You know, I was getting a couple injections in my knee every match. And then when it really set in was the next day when I woke up, you know, and I couldn't even bend my leg or anything. And we went over to the arena and I got my whole knee taped up and, you know, they said, well, this is what we're going to do. You know, this is how it's going to feel. You know, you're going to be okay. And I went out there and I tried to warm up because I hadn't, you know, drilled or anything yet since the previous day. And then I really felt how bad it was. And I took about three or four shots and then I kind of just lost it. I told the guy I was drilling with, you know, I'll be right back. And I just went to the bathroom and like collapsed on the floor. I was like, I can't believe this. Yeah, I was like, this was like the first point where it really like hit me. Like, you know, I'm about to wrestle in probably 40 minutes. And I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to do this.
What did Kales, what did your coaches say? Was everyone assuming you'll be able to wrestle?
Yeah, I mean, everybody was kind of just like they didn't really know what was going to happen, you know. At this point, like, I don't think anybody really knew how injured I was or what even happened, you know. Because it was right at the end of my match. I walked off, I left the arena, and you know, he kind of came in the bathroom and was like, you know, if you're going to just quit, then we're going to take you out of the tournament, you know, because you know, we don't want you to you know, you can't lose before you go out there. And yeah. I kind of just, you know, finally like caught my wits about me and, you know, put my headphones back on and just got back in the zone and, you know, just made my mind up again that I wasn't going to lose. And, you know, I came too far and I wasn't going to let it go. And then that first match was kind of weird because I had a wrestler, Eric Rahalis, who was always, you know, kind of a big move kind of guy. I had beaten him like five times already. So felt good about that. It was a 0-0 match and I never majored decisioned him and ended up catching him. You know, I put him on his back for five in the second period. And, you know, then I was thinking about scoring bonus points and finished the match. And when I walked off the mat, I knew, you know, everything was going to be okay. I was going to be able to fight through it. And, you know, sure enough, I was fortunate enough to make it through that tournament and get what I wanted out of it.
So at that point, that the dot was gone.
Yes.
You were right back to the 149 and the certainty.
Yes.
So what was it like wrestling under Cale Sanderson? What would you say was the secret, the magic that led to the Penn State winning the NCAA team title?
You know, I think Cale created a great environment as far as discipline, consistency. You know, he made wrestling fun. You know, he really taught us how to be good people outside of wrestling. You know, that's something I never really had experience with a coach. You know, it was always more, you know, everything was wrestling at this and that, but you know, Cale wanted to not only make us good wrestlers, but make us good people. And, you know, I think for me personally, you know, he changed my complete outlook on wrestling. You know, I used to always, you know, everything was a grind and everything was, but you know, I love going to practice. You know, I love training. I love competing. And these are things that he instilled in me through, you know, who knows, his coaching, you know.
Yeah.
He's just got a way about him to get you to believe and get the most out of you. And you know, it's a great, you know, basically they lay everything out for you. And if you want to be a winner, you know, you walk the dotted line and you do what you're supposed to do and you'll be successful. And you know, the guys at Penn State that want to be successful, they buy in fast because they know they're going to be successful. And the guys that don't, they don't make it. It's that simple.
You have been a coach. What do you think makes a good coach?
You know, I coached for 2 seasons. And, you know, I think from my first season to my second season, I learned a lot as far as patience and, you know, not putting as much pressure on the kids. And, you know, I learned a lot. And you know, from coaching, you know, I learned a lot as a competitor also. You know, just seeing it from that side. You know, you learn a lot of things, you see a lot of things. And, you know, I think the hardest part is, you know, getting a kid to believe in himself.
Yeah.
I think some people are more talented than other people, but, you know, I truly believe, you know, you can get what you want out of wrestling. If you do the right things, if you buy in, if you're disciplined, if you sacrifice, if you spend the time visualizing, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of things that you could do to jump levels. And, you know, what it comes down to is how bad you want to win and, you know, what you're willing to do. And, you know, the guys like Jordan Burroughs who want to win bad enough and who want to leave their legacy as the best ever, you know, they don't just get there by chance. You know, they do everything right every day. You know, they train every day. They go above and beyond. They do the things that the people who are losing behind them don't want to do.
Right. It's simple. So do matches that you've lost, do they haunt you? Do you ever get over them? I saw somewhere that you mentioned that you lost to Darren Caldwell as a freshman in high school. In high school.
Yes.
Do you still think about that match, for example? Was that that was in States?
Yeah, there's a couple matches that I lost that, you know, I thought I might have left something out there. I thought, you know, I might have done something stupid. You know, those matches I don't forget about, you know. And losing's something, you know, I'm just not ever able to get used to. You know, I take losses very seriously. Losing's, you know, will put me into depression for 2 weeks. You know, it changes is everything. I question everything in my life. I question,
yeah,
what the heck am I doing? You know, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I really just, you know, kind of rip myself a new, you know what. So, you know, I know how painful losing is, you know, when I step on the mat every time, and I know how bad I want to win. Whatever it is that I'm training for, you know, whether it's, you know, the small tournament, international, small national tournament, you know, it's the same kind of defeat. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the Nationals or if it's the U.S. Open or the Big Ten championship. You know, losing is losing. You know, and the second that you begin to tolerate losing, you know, I think you're not going to really ever reach the potential that you want.
Yeah, you have to hate losing. How do you like your coaches and your now wife, for example? What kind of words do you want from them when you lose, if you lose? Do you want them to be, you know, to tell you that you effed up?
I definitely don't. I don't like the pity. You know, the pity will probably piss me off even more than the, you know, trying to console me after a loss. And most of the people that I'm surrounded by, they know, you know, they'll tell me how it is. Yeah. You know, my parents will tell me how it is. You know, my coaches will tell me how it is. You know, my wife's, you know, she's very supportive and she understands how hard I train and how, you know, much I sacrifice and how bad I want it mentally and physically. So she, you know, it's tough, you know, and I don't like letting those people down. I feel, you know, I have a lot of people that support me and a lot of people that believe in me and, you know, have to tolerate me when I'm training and going through, you know, tough times. So it's a lot of pressure, but it's, you know, it's also a lot of support. And, you know, I know at the end of the day, when I take a loss, I really find out who supports me, who truly supports me, you know, and those are the people that are there when I win. And those same people are there when I lose to tell me, you know, it's all part of the process. It's this and that. And, you know, they keep me going.
Yeah. It's one of the toughest things in sports is that all the attention falls, you know, almost exclusively on the guy who wins, and almost you completely forget the guy who lost, even if it's a incredibly close match. So that's kind of the tragedy that makes sports exciting.
Yeah, my dad's always told me, you know, everybody loves a winner, you know, and that's just the truth. Everybody loves a winner, you know, and if you want to win, then do the things right.
So have you ever hit a low point where you considered quitting wrestling?
Yeah, actually, probably the lowest point I ever had was my sophomore year in high school. My freshman year, I lost to Caldwell first round. I was undefeated that year. And then my sophomore year, I just was cutting so much weight. You know, I was really cutting corners, wasn't doing things right, wasn't like living the right lifestyle at that time, wasn't, you know, excited about wrestling, and got to the end of the year, and I was, you know, I was 20 pounds overweight. I didn't think I could make weight, and basically, you know, I was thinking about just giving up at that point. You know, I had really good coaches, was in real hard-nosed, you know, high school coaches, and they kept me going, and, you know, was, I think I was, you know, honorable mention on the rankings, I think, or maybe I was eighth, you know, and at that time, Jordan Burroughs was honorable mention in my weight class, and, you know, ended up winning in pretty crazy fashion that year. I won with like 2 seconds left in double overtime, and, you know, that kind of like just lit a fire that, you know, that I, if I wanted things bad enough in life, that I could achieve them, you know, and, you know, you think you can do things, and, you know, when you train and to do something and it actually happens, it's a very gratifying feeling. And it kind of gave me a lot of motivation moving forward.
So on a almost like a philosophical level, why do you think you wrestle?
I think, you know, I've thought about it before too, you know, like, well, why do I like wrestling so much? Cause I think wrestling's like the only thing that can fully capture my competitiveness. You know, I think there, I'm competitive in just about anything I do, you know, whatever it is we're doing, anything that we play or do or any activity, I'm going to be competitive in. But wrestling's the one thing where I feel like I can really get my most competitiveness in, you know, because I haven't reached the top in wrestling and, you know, I have a long way to go, but, you know, I still think in my head that I can get there, you know, so that's what drives me every day and that's what motivates me. And, you know, I wouldn't wake up at 25 and run, rehab, wrestle, lift, and do all these things if, you know, I didn't think I could reach the top of my sport. And that's the motivating part that drives me to wrestling.
Do you think, given your competitive nature, do you think of wrestling as a sport or as a fight? Like when you're inside of it, is there a certain primal element of where you're literally almost fighting the other guy?
I think it's, you know, Kale likes to say, you know, it's a game. You know, it's just a game. He likes to keep it simple. You know, I think it's a battle with yourself because a lot of it's mental. You know, so much of wrestling is mental. It's just believing that you're better than the guy you're wrestling, believing that you're going to win. You know, so such a mental sport. You know, it's can't even describe it.
Yeah, you're actually considered to be probably one of the most mentally tough dudes, wrestlers out there. So
thanks.
Do you think mental toughness is a skill that you can develop, or is it just something you're born with?
No, I think it's definitely developed, you know, especially for me. You know, I'm always grateful for all the, you know, obstacles that I've been able to overcome. And, you know, I think that they've made me tougher in the end. You know, my sophomore years, you know, my freshman year of college, I was sick the whole season, ended up getting a wild card to Nationals, All-American. You know, those were all – it's all been a process, but if you just go through that process and you go through those that adversity, and people that want to win at the highest level, they like adversity. You know, they like being in those the situations where, you know, they're faced with adversity and they can overcome it, you know, and the more adversity you overcome and the you know, the more tough times that you make it through, the tougher you're going to be in the end, you know, and you begin to, you know, kind of desensitize things and things don't really faze you as much. And that's when you start becoming mental tough. And I think, you know, for me, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself and I think I got to get a lot tougher mentally. You know, not a lot tougher, but there's things I have to fix.
So you still think you have a long way to go in that department?
Yes.
You can get tougher.
Absolutely. You know, and I try to challenge myself in everything I do, you know, whether it's, you know, sprints at the end of a workout or finishing the last live go with, you know, getting the last takedown in a live go against somebody or just little things. I try to create every go, every spurt, every, you know, repetition we're doing, I try to create kind of like a little mental battle, you know, and challenge myself, because when it comes down to it, it's all on you, you know. And I think when you put yourself in those scenarios every day, you know, when you have a purpose when you train and you have a purpose when you, you know, go through practice, you build mental toughness.
Yeah, I remember Kerry Cole telling the story, I think I saw on YouTube, of watching some Mongolian wrestlers taking a freezing cold shower.
Yeah. And I saw that too. That was sweet.
And yeah, I always think about that, you know, like, you know, not showing any of that, of the obvious discomfort on your face, not showing any of it, like treating it like it's nothing. That's sort of a sign of toughness.
Absolutely.
What is the hardest thing, the biggest struggle maybe, you had to go through off the mat?
You know, I think keeping your body 100%, I think that's, you know, something that takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And, you know, earlier in my career, I never really had any issues as far as, you know, injuries or, you know, kind of like just the wear and tear of the sport. So, you know, that kind of takes a toll on you a little bit and something you got to stay on top of. And it's just something you have to learn to deal with, you know, because those are the, you know, those are the effects of wrestling for that long. You know, you're going to get beat up and you're going to have to battle through injuries and battle with stupid, you know, nagging things all the time. So that's, you know, that's kind of one of, you know, the parts I don't like about it, obviously. But other than that, you know, I kind of love all of it. But, you know, I think one thing that does kind of wear on you a little bit is, you know, for me, it's, yeah, when I have a tournament ahead of me, whether it's a month away and, you know, when I lock into a training cycle or, you know, when I lock into a tournament, it's kind of hard for me to relax and shut it off, you know, because it's, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to win and, you know, there is a lot of pressure to win. So it's hard to kind of just relax ever.
So speaking of which, I mean, you got married. Has married life soften you up at all? Like, yeah, like it made you friendlier and less, you know, less wanting to dominate on the mat?
No, I think it's definitely made me kind of more relaxed, and you know, it gives you a more, you know, it gives you a better outlook on life as far as having your priorities straight. In college, you're kind of just, you know. It's like the Wild West and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now, you know, my life is very structured and have a lot of priorities and I'm, you know, I have a lot of support from my wife and, you know, it's nice having somebody else, you know, with you all the time to support you and kind of, you know, help talk you through things that you might not be able to, you know, figure out on your own. So, you know, it definitely hasn't softened me up at all.
Maybe grounded you a little bit.
Yep. Grounded me a little bit for sure.
So thinking of what's his name? I'm blanking. This is what training does to you. James English.
Yeah.
A guy who, you know, definitely an inspiration, but it's paid the price of wrestling in terms of injury. Do you ever think about that? So you said it's a major struggle keeping your body in one piece. Do you think the price that you might pay down the line, you know, when you're in your 40s, of wrestling is worth it?
Yeah. I mean, because nothing will ever compare to those, you know, the moments in my career where I've really spent thousands of hours in the gym trying to achieve, you know, one goal. And you know, like we said before, when it actually happens, it's nothing is more gratifying. You know, winning is happiness for me, plain and simple. Yeah. If I'm not winning and, you know, I'm doing everything I'm doing, then things aren't right in my life. So, you know, I think down the road, I'm going to probably pay for some of these injuries and my body's going to have a lot of wear and tear, but you know, would I do it all again? Yes. Would I do things a little bit smarter? Probably. But, you know, personality wise, I'm kind of an extremist. So, you know, whenever I'm training, it's never really, I can't really ever do anything 60% or 70%, you know, and that's been a little bit of my downfall, but it's also been the reason why as successful as I've been able to achieve some of the things. So yes, you know, I think I will pay for some of it, but I think it's worth it.
Where can people find you? You got a Twitter, right?
Yeah, my Gorilla Hulk 149, and my website should be going up in the next couple days.
What's that going to be?
It's GorillaHulk.com. My Twitter handle is Gorilla Hulk 149, and then my Instagram is GHulk 145.
Final question is everything about the Olympics for you right now? Like visualizing wise, what are you thinking about now?
Right now, I'm visualizing the Pan American Championships. That's what I'm wrestling in next. So I've been visualizing that, going to bed, visualizing. But you know, there are certain things that I do visualize consistently. For example, you know, Olympic trials in Iowa City. You know, I think that's going to be a pivotal point in my career. It's going to be, you know, that's where it's all going to come to, is that day, you know, being at my best that day, you know. And I try to visualize Brazil and, you know, and that kind of stuff, but you know, you got to take things in steps and
one step at a time. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for talking to me. It's been an honor, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.